The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you and not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing and never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Morning, everybody. Good to see you here today. Thank you, Diane, for reading God's word for us today. Diane read to us what she called the parable of the sower. This is one of the stories that Jesus tells to the people who are following him. And Jesus obviously lived long ago in an agrarian society. And so lots of the people there listening to him would have understood farming, would have understood planting, and what it takes to get a harvest and all of the things that get in the way of that happening. Now, this may come as a little bit of a shock to you, but I am not a farmer. I am not a gardener. Really, no one should allow me to have any plants in my home, because when I get a house plant, it comes into my house and kind of a little death march plays behind it as it comes in. I don't do well with plants. It started long ago when I was young. Someone gave me a little African violet, which is a lovely little plant. It had these little delicate purple flowers, but they're notoriously hard to care for. But I had plant food for it and water, and I gave it sun, but this plant did not hold on for very long. It withered, and really that has just started the cycle for me. Anytime someone comes, Julie Kavanaugh, she loves to garden all summer. She has like a billion houseplants, and she comes over to my house and sees my three very anemic houseplants that are basically begging for her to take them away. And then she gives me a little advice, and I don't do it. I forget to water my plants, and it's just been downhill for me from there. So I did not choose to talk to you about this parable today because I'm any kind of expert at growing things. But I thought this would be a good one for us to look at because it's probably a familiar one to many of us, and yet it's good to come back to this one every once in a while to let the words of Jesus speak to us and kind of evaluate at this moment in our journey with the Lord, where are our hearts at? So we're going to do that today. I also chose this one because as Jordan introduced the parables to us last week, he talked about how the parables can be kind of difficult to understand. They're stories, and they come at truth indirectly, and they kind of both conceal and reveal truth at the same time. So we're not always sure exactly what Jesus is getting at. But as Diane read to us, this is one of the parables where Jesus talks to his disciples afterwards, and he tells them exactly what it means. Here's what this soil means. Here's what this soil means. So I liked that as well, because when we look at this parable today, we're not going to have to do much guesswork. The words of Jesus are going to speak to us and tell us what this parable is about. The parable of the sower here in the book of Matthew kicks off a whole series of parables that talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. They're going to kind of talk about what it is, how we join in on the kingdom, what it looks like to be a part of the kingdom. And you know, I thought about this because I grew up as a Christian and I knew my Bible really well, and I realized that Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's called the kingdom of heaven. And yet as much time as Jesus spends talking about it, I never really had a good way to understand the kingdom of God or what it meant or how to explain it. But a few years ago, I heard a teaching on the kingdom of God that has helped me out quite a bit, talking about what it looks like when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. And like so many things in the Bible, the biblical understanding of the kingdom of God, the way Jesus's listeners would have heard him, goes back to the Exodus event in the Bible, the big salvation event of God that kind of defines what God's salvation looks like until we get to Jesus. And through this event, the people of God understood what it looks like for God's kingdom to come. And it comes in three stages or three steps. And the first stage is that God's power breaks in with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. God's power shows up. And the second stage would be that people have seen the power of God, and then they declare that he reigns. They say, God, you are powerful, you are king. And the third stage is that people then prove the reign of God by doing what he says. They obey him. And we see each of these steps or stages in the Exodus event, and this is actually what the kingdom of God means when people are living into it. When people do what God has said, the kingdom of God thrives. And so this is what Jesus is getting at here with the parable of the sower and with lots of the parables that we're going to be going through this summer. Because here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, here I am. God's power has yet again broken in. And I'm representing that. I'm doing miracles. I'm showing you the power of God. And he says, some of you who are following me, you recognize this and you're declaring that I'm king. You're saying the Messiah is here. And then he says, here's where the rubber meets the road. Because now you're going to prove my kingship when you're willing to do the things that I say, when you are willing to obey me. That's what these kingdom parables are going to focus on. When Diane read the parable of the sower to us, at the end of it, Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. This parable might be better called the parable of the hearer. Because in the Bible, when someone hears something or when we are asked to hear something, it means actually that we do something. We respond in obedience. Hearing is not just about okay, I heard that, I took that in with my mind. It means that I then go out and I do it. We see this with the great commandment in Deuteronomy, the most important commandment Jesus says in the whole Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, he is God alone. And what that actually means is Israel, hear this, obey it. Obey the fact that you have one God and one God alone. And here's what it looks like to love him with everything that you are. When we hear something, we do it. Jesus is going to tell us through this parable that we can't just hear the news that he's king. We can't just understand it with our minds. We need to be a people who respond to it. The kingdom requires participation if we're going to be a part of it. But the problem with God's people all throughout the scripture, the problem often with myself today, is that we become willingly deaf. If you're at our women's conference a bit ago, you heard Megan Roberts, our speaker, talk to us about the book of Isaiah. This is why Jesus quotes from Isaiah in the parable of the sower. Isaiah talks a ton about how God's people have become willingly blind, willingly deaf. It's not that they can't see. It's not that they can't hear or understand. It's that they choose not to. We choose to be deaf. So the challenge for us today, like I said, I don't think it's going to be us understanding this parable. Jesus is going to lay it out for us pretty clearly. The challenge for us today, the question that Jesus is going to ask us and the question we're going to ask ourselves over and over and over again as we walk through today is, do I have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear what Jesus is going to say to you today through this parable? And when you hear, will you respond in obedience to him? Do we have ears to hear? Last week when Jordan introduced us to the parables, he told us that ultimately the parables teach us about who God is and what he is like. What is his character? With the parable of the sower, it's easy for us to kind of jump right into the soils and try to figure out who we are and where our hearts are at in this parable, and we're going to do that today. But before we do that, we want to take a look at what this parable tells us about who God is. What is he like? I think the main thing that the parable of the sower tells us about God is that this sower is the one who's out there sowing the seed, the word of God, the message about Jesus and the salvation he offers, this invitation into the kingdom. That's what the sower's doing. And what we see this sower doing is generously sowing this seed. He is scattering seed everywhere. Now, again, I'm not a farmer, but I would think a good farming tactic would be to go to some soil you know is good soil, create a little row and maybe count out my seeds as I plant it so that I know they've gone down deep, I cover them up, and I can trust that they're going to grow and produce a harvest. This sower is just scattering seed. It's falling on hard path, rocky soil, thorny soil, good soil. It's going everywhere. And I think what that tells us about God is that the invitation is actually available to everybody. He says, here's the truth, the good news about Jesus. If you have ears to hear it, then hear. We see back in Genesis 3, right at the beginning of God's story, we see sin enter the picture. And from then on, we see God providing ways for people to be in his presence, working to create a people who are going to bless the whole world, bringing us back into right relationship with him. And ultimately, the sower sends the seed, Jesus, the word of God, who can then bring us back into right relationship with God. The sower is generous. 1 Timothy 2 tells us that God wants everyone to know the truth about the kingdom. Not everyone will accept it. And there's a mystery of what it looks like for God to soften hearts. But here we're being asked if we have ears to hear, will we respond to the message? Because the sower is sowing it generously. This summer, as we walked through the parables, we talked about how we want to make the parables wearable. What does this look like in our own lives? I think with this parable, there's lots of things we can do, lots of images, even as you're outside this summer gardening, ways we can think through what this parable means. And if you do something, please let us know, tag us on social media. We'd love to see your ideas. But one of the ways that we can make this parable wearable is by being like the sower. We see the character of God here, and God has invited us to act like him. So if you are part of the kingdom, invite other people to join you. Sow the seed generously, like God does. Share the good news about Jesus and what he's done with your friends, with your coworkers, with your family. And you know what? Trust the Lord to do the work of softening that path. Maybe 1 month you talk to someone and their heart is hard and they're not receptive. But maybe a month later, God has done some work and that seed is ready to sink in. You don't know. So be like the sower. Sow the seed generously. Trust him to soften hearts. Okay, we're going to jump into the parable here. So the sower's out, sowing the seed generously. The message of the kingdom, the invitation. It says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And then Jesus explains it to his disciples like this. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. This seed has fallen on hard ground, hearts that are hard, and they're calloused. And before it has any chance to take root, the enemy comes along and snatches it away before it can sink in, before there can be any understanding, any hearing, and responding. Our enemy, the devil, is eager to scoop away any glimpse of the gospel, any glimpse of something that might lead people to a life of discipleship with Jesus. And so Jesus here is saying through this parable a sad but a blunt truth. Not everyone is going to listen to his message and receive it. If we look at this parable and where it falls in the book of Matthew, Jesus has gotten really popular. There are lots of people coming to hear his teaching. That what Diane read to us said that Jesus had to push out into the lake. There's so many people there, so he has to push out into a boat so that he can teach people. Lots of people are following him. But Jesus also knows that there are lots of people who do not like the things that he's saying. There's all these leaders, religious leaders, who are trying to put a stop to him. They don't believe his message. They don't think it's the right message, and they want him stopped. But Jesus also knows that even among the crowds who are following him, there are people who don't want to hear, and by that I mean really hear, respond to his message. Because following Jesus requires repentance. It means that we recognize that we've been going the wrong way and we need to turn around and walk in the way of Jesus. We need his forgiveness. Following Jesus means that my life will change. I no longer make all the calls. I trust Jesus as Lord, and I trust that what he says is actually the right way. It requires me to change. And Jesus knows that not everybody wants to do that. In a room this big with this many people here, I would guess that some of us were dragged here today. Maybe your spouse made you come. Maybe your parent made you come. Maybe you're in town for the long weekend for Canada Day tomorrow, and your friend made you come to church with you. But you do not want to be here. Your heart might be feeling like that hard path. You might think that everything we have done here today in this service so far is foolish because there is no God. If that's you today, if your heart kind of feels like that hard path and you don't want anything to do with the seed, I'd ask that you listen to me for 1 minute. Because here's what I think you need to know. There is a God. And he has revealed himself to the world through the person of Jesus Christ. And this God loves you, and he knows you personally beyond anything you have ever known or experienced in your entire life. I promise you that is true. In fact, this God loved you so much that he came and died a violent, painful death on a cross so that you could be restored to the right relationship you were meant to have with God, the right relationship you were actually created to have with God. This God wants to rescue you from being separated from him forever. He wants you to know the goodness of his love and the goodness of life in his kingdom. He loves you. The enemy does not love you. The enemy does not want you to know the goodness of God's love, the goodness of his kingdom. He wants to keep you far away from it. But Jesus asks us that question in this parable. And he says, if you're here today with a hard heart, if you feel callous, like you're that path, here's this question for you. Do you have ears to hear? Is there anything in you that might respond to the word of Jesus? Allow him to soften your heart so that you can know his love and his goodness. If you have ears to hear, that's good news. Come talk to me after the service. And I would love to tell you more about the Jesus who loves you and died for you. Do you have ears to hear? Jesus goes on, and he talks about seed that is in shallow soil. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Jesus says this about it. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Think again here of Jesus' first listeners when he's telling this parable. Huge crowds are following him. Jesus is popular. He's doing miracles. He is an excellent teacher. There is a buzz around Jesus, and there's all kinds of people there saying, yeah, this guy's, he's going to be king. I want in on this kingdom. This is fun. This would be exactly like me and the Edmonton Oilers over the past few weeks. I jumped up onto that bandwagon so quick. I loved it. Do I watch hockey ever during the year? Nope. Do I normally cheer for the Oilers? Absolutely not. I don't really know anything about the Oilers. And yet, here they are in the Stanley Cup Finals, and all my friends are super excited. And I live in Alberta. I cheer for Minnesota sports. I'm from Minnesota. I never have this kind of feeling. Nothing good ever happens in Minnesota sports. But here are the Oilers, and they're doing great. It's fun. I jumped up on the bandwagon. I am turning down invitations to do things because I've got to watch the game tonight. Game 7 day, I wore orange and blue to my workout class. I'm learning stats and names like Draisaitl and Bouchard. I did already know Connor McDavid because I'm not a total loser, so I knew that much. It was fun. I was on the bandwagon. But you know what? If the Oilers have a rough year next year, if they start to fall apart, I'm not going to watch the games. I'm not. I was along for the ride. But if things get difficult, I'm on my way. I have other poor teams to cheer for, like the Vikings. So when Jesus talks here about this kind of soil that receives the word, they receive it with joy. It's sincere in the moment. Me and the Oilers, I'm sincere. But then, when the teachings of Jesus get a bit difficult, when they require something of us, when suddenly they're unpopular, maybe the things that Jesus says to do and not to do no longer fit with what our culture says, when that sun comes beating down on us, that new excited plant doesn't have the roots that it needs to dig down deep It withers in the sun. All of my life, I've worked in some form of Christian ministry, and I've seen this kind of soil a lot. I think about even when I worked at camp back in university, and we'd have all these kids come in super excited for Jesus, and they're running up to the front for altar calls, and then they go home, and life is life. The excitement doesn't stick. Or I think about when I was a teenager, and the Billy Graham Crusade came to Minneapolis. Billy Graham was this amazing evangelist, right? And he would draw thousands and thousands of people. He would fill stadiums to the max with people who wanted to hear his message. And he would talk to people about the good news, the message of the kingdom, what it means to turn away from our sin, recognize our need for a savior, and turn to Jesus. And people would listen, and they would flood down to the field to accept Jesus. When Billy Graham came to Minneapolis, when I was a teenager, I signed up to be a counselor. And so when Billy Graham would do his call for people who want to accept Jesus, I would go down there as well. And I would talk with people. I would pray with them, lead them, you know, kind of in a salvation prayer. And then I'd get their information so that the crusade could follow up with them later. And do you know what? So often, when the Billy Graham crusade would follow up with people, maybe 6 months later, maybe a year later, these people were not walking with Jesus. Nothing in their lives had actually changed. They weren't at church. They weren't connected into community. They weren't reading their Bibles. They weren't growing. They were the same as they had always been. They had said in the moment, yes, I want to declare that Jesus reigns. This is good news. But when life came at them, when their faith was challenged, when they struggled to obey, they withered in the sun. Some of us today might find ourselves in that exact spot. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you were baptized even here at Crossroads in the past year. And you were excited to declare that Jesus is Savior and Lord. You took that step of obedience. But then your regular life has come back. Your friends have come back, and they're not walking with Jesus. Those temptations you struggled with before baptism, before Jesus, they're still there. And you're struggling to dig down deep. Well, again, we're asked that question from Jesus. Do you have ears to hear? And by that, I mean, if this portion of the parable makes sense in your heart, you are that rocky soil struggling to dig down deep. If you feel that today, do you have ears to hear? Are you willing to respond to what Jesus might ask you to do? Are you willing to obey him? If you feel like you're rocky soil, I have three things I want to suggest to you, and these will not be new. You will have heard them before. So again, the issue here isn't understanding what I'm going to say we should do. The issue will be us having ears to hear. Will we go do them? Here are the three things. Read your Bible. Talk to God. Become a part of Christian community. Read your Bible. This is not a magic book, but it is a living book. And it reveals to us the character of our God. It shows us what it looks like to join his kingdom, to live the way he wants us to live. It encourages us when the sun feels hot. If you don't know where to get started in reading your Bible, come talk to me after the service. I love talking to people about how to get going in reading the scripture. We can help you with that. Just do it. Do you have ears to hear? Talk to God. The Bible says that he bends down to listen to us when we talk to him. If you are struggling in this area, then call out to him and ask him for his help. When we become believers, when we trust in Jesus for our salvation, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there to counsel us in what is true. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, don't quench the Spirit, meaning don't stop listening to him. Let him speak to you, and then obey. and join in on Christian community. I say this to people all of the time. It is so hard to be a Christian all by yourself. If I am walking this way and all of my friends are walking this way, it is lonely and it's hard for me not to veer this way to join them. Join in Christian community. This is why we say, come to church every week. Be reminded of what's true with other people who are walking the same way you are. Go to Alpha, go to Foundations, join a Bible study, serve at the church. Become a part of Christian community, because as we live and walk this out together, we can encourage one another. We can provide a little shade when the sun is scorching. We can help one another as we follow Jesus. So do we have ears to hear what Jesus is saying to us today so that we can respond to him so our roots can go down deep? Jesus goes on to talk about thorny soil. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. He explains it by saying the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. If you read this parable in the book of Luke, Jesus says that this kind of soil hears, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. I think this thorny soil could be a relevant one for us here at Crossroads. It certainly was the one that kind of most convicted me as I was studying. Because this soil seems good. It's growing, it's received the word, it's green, things are looking good, but then come the weeds. Jesus and this. Jesus plus that. And it keeps us from being fruitful. I think many of us are in danger of being thorny soil simply because of the culture that we live in. Here in North America, we are a culture that values doing things. We value being busy. We value having lots of different things on the go. We call it being well-rounded. But these things can become thorns in our lives. We are an anxious culture. And this goes beyond our own personal health or our family or our city. We are now connected to the whole world, and we know all of the things that are going on, all of the different things we can be worrying about. These can become thorns for us. We are a wealthy culture. We are exceedingly wealthy compared to so much of the world. And we often think of wealth as a good thing, as a blessing, and we have seen it that here at Crossroads be a blessing. And yet, Jesus says to us in this parable that wealth can be a danger to us. It can be a negative thing. It can be a thorn in our lives. We are a people who are easily distracted, whether it's politics or sports or our next vacation. There are things everywhere, many, many thorny gods that can get in the way of God's work in our lives. If I'm honest with you, I have felt like thorny soil in my own life lately. I have lots of things going, lots of things on the go, lots of things that I allow to get in the way of me and the Lord, of me being fruitful for him. And you know, I've been thinking about this a lot and praying through it, and I realized that actually what the danger is for me is recognizing some of these thorns in my life, but being okay with them. Because I say, look, I'm still doing lots of good work for the Lord. I love him. There are some beautiful flowers growing in this garden. What's a few weeds? I can live with those. My struggle has been apathy. Being apathetic about all of these things that are crowding the Lord out in my life, not being concerned about them. And so as I've been thinking through this and praying about it and kind of wanting a big lightning bolt from heaven, I've realized that I don't think there are any flashy answers to this one, because it's the same question that Jesus is going to ask those of us who feel like thorny soil. He's going to say, do you have ears to hear Meaning, if you see these thorns, are you willing to do some weeding in your life? It might be painful. Thorns hurt. But if they're there, are we willing to do some weeding? Do we have ears to hear? I think for those of us who feel like thorny soil, what we do is we continue in those disciplines, the same things I mentioned before. We read our Bibles, we talk to God, we listen to his answers, we continue in Christian community. We come to church each week to be reminded of who the one true God is, reminded that all the things I've worshiped throughout the week are false gods, not worthy of my praise. I think the series that we just finished up in the past few weeks here about being people of the way, it would be great to go back to that series to rewatch if you feel like thorny soil. Some of those practices about being people of generosity, simple lives, being a part of the body, being engaged in our community. All of those disciplines, as we continue in them, I think the Lord makes us fruitful. It helps us to move from apathy to obedience. And then I think we simply need to be reminded of the beauty and the splendor of our God. The other day I went on a walk early in the morning, and it was actually a really beautiful morning. It was, the skies were blue and there were some white clouds dotting the sky and the sun was bright. And I was walking along and I was reminded of Psalm 50. Psalm 50, which says, "The mighty one, God the Lord, he speaks and he summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets." And I was looking at the sky and thinking about how great God is, how other he is, how he created everything, and he calls forth the sun each day. The sun listens to his command. I thought about how God is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is completely other, completely separate from me. He's great. But then I thought about myself on my walk, offering up my little kind of half-hearted prayers to God about all these thorns that I don't actually want to pull out. And I thought about how I had just read in the book of Isaiah, where God is talking to his people. He calls them Jacob. And he says, "Jacob, I've chosen you." He says, "You are the descendants of Abraham, my friend." And I thought about how crazy it is that this great God, who is above all things, was friends with a guy named Abraham. I thought about how Jesus later calls his disciples friends. I thought about how Raylene read us that scripture that talks about how we are called children of God when we become part of the kingdom. It is absolutely stunning that a great God who is over all things also calls us friends. It is amazing. It is an honor. And it is worth me doing a little bit of weeding in my life so that he can get all the glory. He's worthy of it. He is worthy of our whole lives because he is good and everything he does is good. God is worthy and he is worth it. So if we have ears to hear today, we will respond by letting God show us where we need to pull up some of those weeds in our lives. The last soil in Jesus' parable is the good one. Jesus says that still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. He says the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. These are the people who have ears to hear what God is saying. They respond. They seek to understand Jesus and then put his words into practice. If we read Luke's telling of this parable, Jesus says that the good soil stands for those who have noble and good hearts. They hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. I thought that language was so interesting. By persevering, they produce a crop, because this is good soil, but it still has to persevere. There is still going to be scorching sun. There is probably some weeding that needs to be done every once in a while. The plant still has to work hard to dig down deep into the soil. But because the soil is receptive, because there are ears to hear, it produces good fruit, a bountiful harvest, a bumper crop. When our hearts are receptive to the word of God, we join in the work of the kingdom. Again, think about the first listeners. Think about the disciples. They hear this parable. They're with Jesus. They hear his teachings, and they respond in obedience to what Jesus has said. They go out and they scatter the seed. And you and I are sitting here in a church in Red Deer, Alberta in 2024 because those disciples were good soil who scattered the seed to anyone who would listen, and the kingdom of God continued, inviting more and more people in. We're here because they were fruitful. And you know what? Sometimes we think of the good soil that way, that there are these crazy things that people are doing. It's the Billy Grahams, right? The ones who are filling stadiums and lots of people are coming to Jesus. But I was reading The Scribe a couple of weeks ago, this little magazine that our communications department puts out. And I read so many stories of people in our own church who are good soil, who are fruitful for the kingdom of God. I read about Jordan Polson, our executive pastor who just retired, and he was not always up on stage. He was not always in front of everyone, and yet he worked so hard behind the scenes for a couple decades, bearing fruit for the kingdom of God here at Crossroads Church. I read Susan's story. Susan, who has scorching sun on her right now. And yet she is digging down deep, trusting in the faithfulness of God and showing everyone else what he's like. I read about my friend Melanie, who has done a lot of work in her life to pull up those weeds so that she can show people the faithfulness of God as he has worked to make her more like him. Good soil is not always flashy. Good soil takes time. Good soil has to persevere. And yet when we're receptive to God's word, God says, join me in the things I'm doing. Be a part of my kingdom, and I will make you fruitful. Today we have the privilege of taking communion together. And what communion does is it reminds us of the why. Why do we work to dig down deep? Why do we do the work of pulling up the weeds? Why do we soften our hearts? It's because of what Jesus has done. We take the bread at communion, we're reminded of the body of Christ, which was broken for us for our salvation, so that we could be restored to relationship with God. We are reminded of his blood, which was shed for our redemption, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that you and I could be friends with God. So when we do communion together today, what we'll do is we'll come out of our rows, we'll take those elements, and then we'll bring them back to our seats, and we'll wait for everyone to be served so we can take it all together. But while we are waiting, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think through this parable, and I want you to ask the Lord to show you in your walk with him right now where you are. What kind of soil is your heart? And then ask the Lord to give you ears to hear, so that you are willing to respond to whatever he might have for you today. If your heart still feels like that hard path today, then you can stay seated while we take communion. But if your heart has softened a little bit and you want to recognize Jesus as King, declare that he reigns and then obey him, then come forward, take communion, ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. And then come talk to us afterward so we can continue to introduce you to the King. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you sow the seed generously. And so I pray for our hearts today, Lord, that we would be a people who are receptive, a people who have ears to hear what you say to us. We're grateful, Jesus, for who you are and for what you've done. In your name, amen.